Off the ball, rugby.
Crocodile or hippo, who do you fancy yourself against more?
Quick YouTube poll. Would Quinny take a crocodile in hand-to-hand combat? Yes, 56%.
Oh, that's good.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
OTB GAA.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to another episode of the Football Pod. I've got my two co-hosts with me, Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Chaps, Bank Holiday Monday. How are the heads?
The heads are perfect.
Bit tired, right? Busy weekend.
I'm very fresh, yeah.
You weren't out celebrating the Munster Championship last night, Jimmy, though.
I didn't. I could have, but so 2 hours up. Well, 2 hours 15, I suppose, in the car. And then came home and I watched the Galway Mayo game after. Do you know, I didn't watch it live.
Had to record it.
Yeah, I had to record it, so I watched that and then I just didn't fancy it, you know.
No, put the feet in. Fresh and daisy.
Yeah. Were you out and about?
I was out on Saturday. I was into the rugby at Croke Park. It was a great gig. Yeah.
That was full house, was it?
Full house in Croker now. There was good buzz around the place. Like.
Were you cheering the guys on?
I was cheering the guys on. Great day out, but I tell you, lads, I wasn't at my peak yesterday. Now, but that's I was watching both the games. Watching both the games at home, pleasantly surprised. Well, no, we did kind of tee up. We thought the Connacht final would be a good game. We were just unsure of what Galway were going to show up or what Mayo were going to perform like. But I thought it was a great game. I have to say, really impressed with it. Really enjoyable game. And be fair, the Clare Kerry game was. We were a bit more sure how that one would go, and it panned out that way. But still, it was a pretty good game. It looked like a good atmosphere there, too. It probably wasn't a total sellout, was it?
Didn't matter, Paddy. 12,000 in Cusick Park feels...
No, it looked good. It looked good. Like, probably behind good, the goals, like, you know, totally packed.
No, exactly. And, like, there was probably... I was speaking to Derek Lynch at Clare FM beforehand as well, and he had pointed out at the Limerick game, maybe 30 minutes of throw-in, there was about 12,000 in. One of the stewards said, there's about 12,000 here now. And it felt full at that stage. Like, how are you going to get another 8 in here? Like, so,
was it definitely like, the terraces 20? I heard that the capacity was 18.
Well, it was. But then
so
they extended
the capacity 20?
In the last month, they've done a lot of work. They've kind of fixed car parks. They've taken down fences. They've taken down barbed wire. They've cleaned up a few bits and pieces. So they've extended it. They extended it to 20 for the Limerick game.
That barbed wire was costume 2000, was it?
That sounds
highly unsafe, but it did look class. Like the Limerick hurling game looked like sardines. People couldn't move. Where there was a bit of space behind on the terraces yesterday, but still a decent crowd.
Probably just missing. It was definitely missing that. Like if James, we might talk about Dermot Coughlin and some of the Clare players in a minute, but like. If Coughlin had, and I didn't realise how far out he was when he took that shot, but if he had buried that wonder goal, or if Brian McNamara, with slight shade of Owen Merchant tearing through the heart of the Kerry defence, had buried that goal, I think the place would have just lit up. Because when Ike Maguire does get that goal, there's nearly a pause before the Clare fans actually go, oh Jesus, we're only 5 points down with 5 minutes to go. So, definitely added to the occasion.
The ref had given... He'd given an advantage, hadn't he, for Aguero's goal?
Yeah. I think he played the advantage,
I think everyone was thinking, oh, it's free. Because it went on, the advantage, actually did the advantage rule very well there, where he let it go on and he actually ended up sneaking it in. Yeah. But yeah, I think the crowd were definitely involved in the whole game. Even when Kerry pulled away by 6 or 7 points, I don't think the Clare crowd gave up at any stage or they were fully invested in the game, I think, right till the end.
You made
Kerry
the point,
Kerry were always in control.
When Kerry were keeping the ball towards the end, like nearly the opposite, the inverse of the Killarney last 5 minutes where they kept it for 6 minutes and Cork just didn't have the energy to chase them down. The Clare lads were being roared on in injury time, even when they were 5 or 6 down, to chase down Kerry keeping the ball in possession. Like, so yeah, definitely, it absolutely added to it. It just feels like such an obvious thing to do for these games, because even the Tullabhan playing around, like the roar before the game, it actually felt like an occasion this weekend where so often it's a bit more muted. I tell you one place where it was an occasion and there was nothing muted. Salt Hill, 26,000. Mayo and Galway, lunatics packed into a stadium, baying for blood. and they got a proper contest in the Connacht final.
It was a great game, I have to say. With the question marks, I think everyone did over Galway. That we, of all the kind of top tier teams, they're the ones who you just have not been able to get a reading on at all for the whole season. They've had more than half their squad missing, and you'd see the impact the likes of Comer, Manny Tierney and Shane Walsh come on, the difference they make. We just mentioned before we came on here, Killian McDade was togged out. We didn't see him on the pitch yesterday, but when Galway have all of those guys back, and in terms of 2 weeks ago, Sligo really should have beaten. And Patrick Joyce was pretty scathing of his analysis of that performance. Very honest that they were very, very lucky to win that game with Rob Finnerty's goal. But you knew they'd get some sort of bounce and improvement in the performance from the Sligo match. And I thought it was a brilliant game. I thought nip and tuck the whole way. Really enjoyable. Mayo looked like they'd kind of weathered the storm coming down the final 10 minutes. Got their noses in front. And then the latest goalkeeping story of the season. There's one every week.
It's unreal.
This week it was very positive for Conor Gleeson with two monster scores. But that kick at the end into the breeze, an unbelievable way to win it. And we're Galway full value for it. It was really, really tight, as we expected it to be. But what it does for Patrick Joyce, you see the reaction of the players and the crowd after that match. That could be a bit of a spark for Galway going into the All-Ireland series. And you just see when they have all of these guys back and they're playing reasonably well. I thought Shane Walsh was brilliant in the last quarter as well. They're a serious, serious team. They're a serious team. But I just thought it was a really enjoyable game. I think did we all tip Mayo last week?
Almost. I'm trying to go back. I'm pretty sure one of ye tipped Galway.
Well, you couldn't. I don't know. I think we all tipped Mayo. I don't think you could have tipped Galway because we didn't know who they were going to line out. Like in the end, their panel was stacked. But I think that Joyce has done a masterstroke. In hindsight, after winning, like the control he has back now again, after especially after dropping Shane Walsh, because I think he risked a lot there by leaving him out. I know we can say that he was carrying Knox and not fit or whatever, but he still just laid down the law. He said Walsh wasn't playing well, he dropped him.
Well,
and to come out and win after that is huge for him.
Do you not think, I know, it obviously is different, but do you not think there's a sense of using Walsh as a finisher there? That he would have said, I'm not dropping you. No. I'm not dropping you. I'm bringing
that's
you in.
It was.
If he but said
look
that,
at Walsh's reaction.
He was lying.
Walsh is in before half time, though.
Telling a porcupine. That even proves even more. You can't finish in the first half. I'm bringing you on to finish this out after 32 minutes. He absolutely dropped the shite out of him. Like that is just what happened. Like, and in fairness, Walsh showed a great attitude to come on and still keep two from play and a free. Like he was still in. He was still in. I saw in the celebrations he was still basking in it. Like, and he was well in. But I just think that is a power play by Joyce. He needed to win that. If they had lost after dropping Walsh, he was already under pressure, and there was. As he said himself, the media were giving him enough of it. Imagine how much it would have ramped up if they'd lost after dropping Walsh.
Yeah, it felt like a really important collective moment. Obviously, for the management, you could see the outburst of emotion on the sideline. Yeah. But for the team themselves, I was listening to the Examiner podcast earlier, and Maurice Brosnan was on the pitch, and he was talking to Rob Finnerty, and the two of them were having a post-match chat, and Damien Comer's impact on the game came up, and Finnerty was chatting about it before Finnerty leans over and grabs Shane Walsh and pulls him over and says, and what about this man? Back to his best. And Walsh kind of moseys off like him. And that was that. But it just showed you that Finnerty just knew that his teammate Shane Walsh had stood up yesterday as well. Because Walsh comes on in 32 minutes. He's quiet-ish. He's rusty. He struggled to pick up a ball or two. Fitzmaurice made a couple of comments about it on the commentary. But when that game entered the melting pot, he clicked into gear.
He was. But we said it last week, Tommy, like Walsh and Comer are the superstars of that team. That's the reality of it. When they're at their best, those two guys are shining lights. We've seen it in the past. And the challenge for Galway and Patrick Joyce, and why, okay, injuries has been a massive issue for them. If you look through last season where they underperformed, everyone was expected them to kick on after the All-Ireland final appearance the year before. Walsh and Comer just didn't play well. You know, when your key players are not performing at their peak, plus then you have 10 other guys injured, it's very, very difficult to have any impact on the championship. That's what we've seen with Galway last year, and what we've seen this season today. But you look, I thought Cobra was exceptional throughout the whole day yesterday. I thought Walsh in the final quarter really stood up, as you want your big players to do. But also, having them back, we said in their absence over the last couple of months, it's been the likes of Rob Finnerty and Johnny Heaney who've been kind of leading the charge. They're the guys who are now the marquee players in the Galway team, in the absence of all the other guys. Now, and they still performed yesterday. I thought Rob Finnerty is really, you can see the confidence he's gained.
Classic.
From having to kind of be the main man in their absence. Johnny Heaney's added a real scoring threat to his game throughout the National League. He gets in yesterday again. And a few of those guys play well. And then your main men are back and contributing like what Walsh and Comer did yesterday. Matty Tierney as well, shouting off him off the bench.
Yes.
Like Galway's talent is not in question. We've always said that. We just haven't seen them at all on the pitch. But that win yesterday, you can see the reaction. When our provincial championships get a lot of lip, but you could see the reaction of the management, the supporters and the players. It was very noticeable, the players celebrating that win yesterday. The manner of it as well. You score a point, your goalkeeper scores a point in the last kick of the game. It's a good way to win a match against your rivals. But I just think that could be a massive, massive boost to literally kickstart Galway season, because they hadn't got going at all till the first week of May.
I like the duo of Comer and Finnerty. I thought that they worked very well. Like Comer shows for everything.
Yeah.
Like he's down the line, he's out in front, he wants it high, he wants everything. Finnerty, I don't think Finnerty's quite like that. I think Finnerty likes to play it a bit cuter, a bit more patient, kind of likes to bide his time, maybe a backdoor cut and show in a loop. So I think that kind of that combination worked well, and it definitely suited Finnerty, because Finnerty doesn't want to be going for those balls, and he doesn't have the strength of Comer, you know. But he's classier. He can take the scores when they're on. So I think that combination definitely worked well. Because if you look down the other side at Mayo, and this game was a toss of a coin, anyone could have won, so we can't criticise Mayo that much. But I don't think they got as much value out of their performance. For the amount of ball they got, they probably got more ball in there, but didn't get as much of a reward out of it going in there.
Why
so a lot came in.
They seem not to kick it. They seem not to have maybe the option to kick it, or they didn't kick it as much as Galway.
Galway were very well set defensively, which they are, which is a credit to them. But I don't to put too fine a point there. I don't think their lads played well inside.
Okay.
You know, you're looking at Aidan O'Shea, you're looking at Ryan O'Donoghue, who's obviously had an unbelievable start to the championship. They would have known that Galway's defensive system, which is quite good and has been over the last number of years, that it can be difficult to find spaces. It can be difficult to play against. You might get as many direct kick passes, I know, in the first half, particularly against Roscommon. In the semi-final, they would have used that a lot. But you've got to find a way to work around that. I thought Tommy Connery was quite good in terms he's just an exciting player. He is a handful. His agility is... Jack Lynn is on him, who's a really good man marker for Galway, but he's just so elusive. He would be an absolute pain in the arse to mark. But again, you're only seeing kind of glimpses of that as well. And again, you kind of say that Galway's bigger players perform a little bit better than Mayo's. Is that how tight this game is? How tight we expect it to be? But I think you'd probably look at that and say, yeah, that Galway got more change out of their attack. And look, a couple of minutes to go, Mayo winning this game.
In the 71st minute, they're 2-0.
You can't throw Mayo under the bus either.
Goff.
A big win for them. There's so much between those teams.
Goff nearly.
I've gone through this game twice now. I thought. Go on. What are you going to say?
I'm going to say about his decision to hop the ball.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the kick out that O'Connor fouls.
Mayo get a score off
Tierney.
There's one in it. Mayo on the attack. There's a foul on the Galway player, and he throws it up from the ground for a fella to take a quick free. He takes two steps forward before he kicks it.
Darcy does, yeah.
At that stage, it's so important, that possession. Just if he has to bring it back and say, or kick it from there, he hopped it. Oh, lads, if I was Joyce, the pressure that he is under, and if you were going to go two down and lose over that, you would have an absolute meltdown. I think they got away with that because
well, there was 2 minutes later as well. There was the free where
Kelly to Cobra.
You brought it back to
Comer, and Joyce did lose it. Now I thought Goff and his umpires had a very good day out. Thought they had done really well. Like the manner in which they called that goal line chance, they seemed to take their time over it and get it right. You know, Johnny Maher's effort that somehow didn't go in when Liam Silk got it.
Yeah. That would have been some finish with the outside the right.
Yeah.
It was what a lovely about, finish.
Was it on?
Been a great finish. The one that was cleared off the line by the Mayo defender.
Outside of the boot finish, though.
Oh, it was definitely on, I thought. The defender came from nowhere to block that, I thought. In my in my opinion, I thought it was a great finish because he beat the goalie. After that, it's great defending.
Yeah, yeah.
If we're chatting about Goff's couple of decisions, I think Goff will get a very handy free. Tommy Conroy or John Maher. No, not the one to win it. Well, the one to win it is possibly...
That's Australia. Loftus, he waits for the contact, though. He waits for the contact.
Well, how many times do you see that given the other way? Like, it's a bit high. I could see that given to Mayo, but the one Goff gives and Finnerty kicks it over the one before that, where Tommy Connery just gets the ball ahead of John Burr, and I could see Goff kind of thinks Maher is down on it. Oh, he gives the free.
I think it's the angle he's at.
Never a free. Yeah.
I think it's the angle.
Maher just goes in with his head.
Yeah.
He does a forward roll. Yeah.
Joyce, I'd say maybe this played into Goff was kind of thinking, was I a bit harsh with bringing those frees back?
I don't think he would.
These two ones, maybe not, but like that's, we're talking about the margins there. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, it's a brilliant day for them. We're looking at Mayo. Why did they not perform? You know, any one of those calls, and Mayo would get. And it sets them up. They're the Connacht champions and kind of carry things on with McStay and the momentum they have. So,
well, I think he added, to be honest, I think he added to the game because there was blood and thunder throughout that game. There was a few things he called, like, did you see Rob Finnerty kicking a point and patting the Mayo defender on the head afterwards?
That was brilliant.
And he got away with that, but he gets caught then a few minutes later for John. And he got booked for that. And I think Jordan Flynn got booked for something similar. But Kevin McStay...
Is it an offence to Robbie's hair? Oh, that's sledging. Is that sledging?
Yeah.
Sledging. Absolutely.
But I mean, if he did that, he didn't do that in isolation. Like, there would have been a toing and froing for an hour.
Probably.
Before that, you know. And then he's got a great score. That was a class score as well with the dummy and to throw it over with the fist. But
it just shows the confidence Finnerty was playing with as well.
You get a great insight into a fellow when he does that, I think.
But McStay, like, in the kind of the madness of it all, McStay handled the question. Because it will come at you, a manager on the sideline after a game. What about those decisions? And after the game, moments after the game, he's in the huddle with the journalists. And his response is, David Goff is the best referee in the country by a mile. There were two teams out there driving into each other throughout the game. It was hard, physical stuff, and a very difficult match to referee because both teams wanted to win that cup so badly. We have no issues. He has reffed us on good and bad days in the past, and that was a difficult game to ref. I would not have liked to referee it. So we got a couple of bounces at different stages. And then a few went against us, and that's the way the game pans out. Can we just pause on Damien Comer? James, what does he do so well?
He's a powerhouse, and he backs his power as well. Like, he shows out in front time and time again. And what he does then is he turns and he faces up his man. His first thought is to go at you. And sometimes, I think a criticism of Comer maybe a couple of years ago is everything was... Take on the man and go for the goal, and you know, maybe falling and maybe get a point over eventually. No, he's going at him, but he's stepping back and taking the point. And he's actually a brilliant kicker. Like, his right leg is incredibly accurate. He got two phenomenal scores from play with his right leg as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so he has, if you're a defender and Comer wins it in front of you, your first thought is, right, he's going to take me on. So you kind of take a little bit of a step back. And if he has that in the locker, just throw it over at that stage, which he does. It's so hard to defend against. But I just think that he's so dangerous that they don't really know what to do with him. Because if they get too physical, he's fouled. If they stand off him, he's going to take you on or he's going to take a point. He just needs someone in there with him to do the kind of the classier stuff the Finnerty did the last day. So I think that they worked perfectly together.
And where does the balance work if Shane Walsh is back to his best with Finnerty inside and Walsh back in the mix?
Well, I do you know what? I think that the All-Ireland final was an outlier for them because Shane Walsh played in next to the goals and he had a stormer. But I don't think that that is their first choice way of playing. I think that Walsh is better at 10 or 11 coming late and either setting up a score or kicking a long range score. I don't think that his future is going to be top of the square. If anything, it would nearly take away from Comer if it was. I think you need to have them on different lines. I think Walsh's future is outside, dictating the play, coming late, taking a man on out there and getting a long range score using, because Walsh is kicking his off the charts when it's on. So that would be where I would see Walsh. I'd split them the lines. I'd have Comer, Finnerty out inside and Walsh outside.
Paddy, do you want in on that?
No, 100%. I agree. Like, but Shane Walsh, his best strength, he's so elusive carrying the ball. You see the free he wins yesterday. Mm. He's so difficult to dispossess when he's running with the ball. That would, I'd say, okay, he's two-footed as well, which is a brilliant trait to have, but his greatest strength is carrying the ball, being an unbelievably effective transition player. Colbert's greatest strength, he's just so aggressive. He is just a handful. And as Jimmy said, he wants every single possession. And if you remember, after 2022, which is Galway's best season in a long time, Colbert's man of the match against Derry in the semi-finals, exceptional performance, and Walsh has his day of days in the All-Ireland final against Kerry, but they don't actually play well complementary in those games. I think Park Choice actually alludes to it after. Colbert has a really quiet All-Ireland final. And they're thinking, well, Finnerty is, I agree with what Jimmy was saying earlier, he's a loop player. He's not going to win balls that Damien Comer wins. That's not his bag, but he's a really, really useful inside forward to have. Mm-hmm. We've seen that over the last couple of games. So Comer complements him, that he can kind of look nearly like my big brother's playing there beside me. He's got to deal with the long kick passes. He's got to take his man on. Because Comer's so direct, he naturally sucks in other defenders, and that creates that little bit of space for someone like Finnerty. And that also complements Walsh's strengths, where he's coming from deep. He's setting up plays. I just think that those three players, you add in Matty Tierney on the wing, you might see Killian McDade bursting through the middle with the likes of Johnny Marr or Paul Conroy, probably sits a bit deeper. But Galway have players that can work really, really well together. But with Comer, with Walsh, I agree, played them on different lines, because like the potential there, the ceiling, this is what we said from day one with Galway, they have the highest ceiling of the teams in Connacht. They've been inconsistent, but they've reason to be, because the second half their team was injured. But if those guys can, one, stay injury-free, which is the biggest caveat for Paul Joyce and those Galway players, if they can stay injury-free and start playing like that together, they have a massive, massive chance to go deep into the summer. Like, they really, really do. They have that quality. And that's what I expect to see when they go into the All-Ireland series now in a couple of weeks' time. Probably Walsh, 11, maybe 10. A Colbert affinity inside and get the ball into them.
Well, we've referenced the depth of the Galway panel a number of times this year. The impact that their bench made yesterday. Sean Mulcairn comes in to the full back line with 10 minutes to go. Daniel O'Flaherty, a youngish wing back in his early 20s, comes off the bench and wins a key free. Walsh kicking three off the bench. Johnny Maher and the impact he made. And you've already mentioned Matty Tierney, who won a couple of kickouts, was involved in tackles and also fetched that Gleeson free that dropped short and slipped the Definity for that point. So that's depth. And finally on Mayo, right? Matty Ruan, we saw him back to some of his best form, kicking three points.
Fair to him.
O'Donoghue shot some really nice scores from play. Fergal Boland was probably quite quiet, was withdrawn quite early. I was surprised by that. He was 40 minutes gone. He was taken off. They obviously did the Killian O'Connor, Aidan O'Shea switch again, where, you know, O'Shea, whenever he did get his hands on ball, seemed to be using it, but they weren't getting any joy off it in the way that Galway were getting the joy off Comer. So,
do you know what happened there? When Comer has it, he's moving with such intent, right? He gets it and he's powerfully pushing off to get a yard or two. Fellas just kind of, they get teased into a high tackle. Do you know, like, he has it, and next thing, he gets swung around the neck and it's a free. He actually got two of them the last day. He does it in every game because he's kind of looking to find a gap, and he goes with such intent, the fellas go, oh, he must be through here, and they stick out a hand and they foul him. Whereas I think with Aidan O'Shea, teams are more likely to be more patient defending because he doesn't quite have that power that Comer has. Burst. In terms of, yeah, they don't think he's going to get past me, so I can kind of just move my feet a bit quicker rather than sticking in a lazy hand. Comer, he buys so many fouls just because of the fear of the defender, I think.
Yeah. I don't think we saw the best of Sean Kelly at the weekend, but there was one really key moment when Mayo were two up in injury time. Galway go on the attack in the 71st minute.
Yeah.
And Mayo turned them over, and they break
him back over again.
And Kelly turns them back over again. I just thought, and you hear the captain's speech at the end. Like, I just thought, like, you know, when we get Sean Kelly back, motor and two. So exciting, but it obviously leads us on to their next game, which is Galway against Derry on the weekend of the 18th and the 19th of May. That is round one, and that is going to be a smashing game. Mayo.
That's in Salt Hill.
That is in Salt Hill on the that weekend. Their
they got a horrible group, Galway. Like, for winning that, they did. They got a horrible group.
Yeah, but do you know what? Get the bodies back. Keep motoring through it. I think winning
2 weeks as well.
They get so much more out of winning that though, James, wouldn't they?
Oh, 100%. But it's just like your luck is up with that group, really. They'll still get through it, but
yeah.
You're talking about going into a tough situation there, as opposed to some of the other groups I think might maybe a bit lighter.
Yeah,
but lighter working them.
I suppose we want competitive groups, don't we? So
absolutely. But I just mean in terms of winning the All Ireland for Galway, Derek's squad is going to be tested in the next 3 games. Like, they'll come out of that. They'll either come out of that bouncing, or they'll come out of it with more injuries than they started, you know, going into it. It's going to be a lot.
Hopefully to keep the ball. It's a nice run, though. It's a game every 2 weeks. It's Galway Derry 18th, 19th of May, Westmead Galway on the 1st or 2nd of June, and then Galway up against Donegal or Armagh in a neutral venue on the 14th or 15th of June.
Tough group.
That's very tough group, yeah.
The flip side.
But the thing was... What, I know we'll get to this, it's a couple of weeks away, but what is Derry's performance going to be like that day at Salt Hill?
Yeah.
After, you know, we touched on it with Mayo last year, that won the National League, were the form team through the spring. They have a bit of a howler in the opening day in the Connacht Championship against Roscommon, and then we don't see them for 4 or 5 weeks, and then they come down and absolutely blitz Kerry. So everyone's going to be able to go, what have Derry learned from that? Was probably the biggest night of the championship so far, when they were kind of ambushed by Donegal at home. So what Derry is going to turn up that day, because we know Galway, you would imagine an extra couple of weeks in the legs and the momentum they get out of winning that yesterday. What a game to kick off the All-Ireland series that's going to be. So
what did you make of Joyce fighting back post-match?
Like, it's been a hard season for him. Like, but he's the figurehead. He's the coach, and it's been a really, really frustrating year for Galway. They kind of just about hang on in Division One, and manage, you know, half their team missing. They play London, then they play Sligo, and should probably lose. And people are questioning Galway. That I think even more so from last year, that people were bigging Galway up and expecting them to take another step forward after reaching the All-Ireland Final in 2022, and it didn't happen. That's the reality. And so Pádraig Joyce can give out about that all he wants, but it was a disappointing 2023 season, and 2024 hadn't got started. So for him to, he's been there a few years now, and for them to win that game yesterday, it's probably letting off a bit of steam and saying, right, because you seen his interview after the Sligo game, he was pissed off. Like,
he was
like, oh, this was just not good enough for Galway and what he expects from that team. I'm sure the players knew that themselves. So to win that game against their biggest rivals, and like I said, the way they win the game is your goalkeeper scores a point with the last kick of the game. But not the last kick, the last attack of the game. Killian O'Connor hits the wide. It's a really emotional way to win the Connacht title. So I could see he's probably a bit amped up after the game, but I don't think there's any harm in that.
I like that.
I can imagine them going
heart in the sleeve
into the dressing room. They probably had a couple of beers last night and just going, being a Galway footballer was a good place to be.
Absolutely.
Night, I would have said.
Yeah. No, definitely. Emotions were definitely high. I don't know if you remember Paul Conroy's late wide, maybe 67, 68 minutes. But
back to first.
Could you hear? I was in the pub when I watched it originally in Kieran's and Ennis after the game in Cusick Park. But when I went home and I watched it again today, you can hear, I don't know whether it's John Concannon or Keane O'Neill or Pádraig Joyce, or maybe it's a Galway fan in the stand, but somebody going, Jesus, Paul!
And it had barely even gone wide by the time they were saying it.
It was so unlike Paul Conroy to miss that as well. Okay.
Yeah.
The Mayo fixtures, just to give them to you before we move on here. Mayo Cavan, Roscommon Mayo. So Mayo Cavan be the 18th, 19th of May at home for Mayo. Roscommon Mayo away. But that's usually like a home game for Mayo, given the record in the Hyde, the 1st or 2nd of June. And then Mayo against the Leinster winners. Yeah, Dublin are loud, so that'll be neutral, 14th or 15th of June. You are listening to the Football Pod. We are in between the provincial finals, in the midst of championship. The pod is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. We're going to be back talking about the Munster final in Cusick Park and looking ahead to the Ulster football final. We'll touch on the Leinster football final and a really exciting looking bill of under-20s football this weekend where Kerry are up against Meath.
The Royals.
Back in a minute. James O'Donoghue.
Tommy Rooney.
What will Kerry's Tuesday review session be like this week?
Ooh.
Yeah, I think that it's an interesting one, actually. I mean, they're not going to be disappointed with the performance, necessarily. They got the result. It's a no-win situation, really, for Kerry. You know, if they lose the game, they're absolutely never going
forever
to be the same again. Exactly, yeah. If they win, it's just they should have won that. So I think it was just a matter of getting in there, getting that bit of fitness up, getting the win. If they're actually going to break the game down to see where they could improve, there's loads of areas. The first thing and the one thing that comes to mind, because it happened to our team as well, was they're not scoring goals at the moment. And I think it is something that just has to be brought up in the group again, just to almost refocus that if we're going to win this, points alone are not going to win it against the top teams. We're going to have to be getting a couple of goals a game and have that threat constantly.
Barry Dan hits the bar late on in injury time and Joe Connor has that shot saved by Stephen Ryan. They're the only real openings.
Yeah. I mean, how many chances are you going to get either in a game? But it's just a matter of being clinical. You know, the top teams are getting two chances and they're scoring two goals.
Yeah.
It's a small thing. It's definitely in the locker with Kerry. It's not a huge issue, but when you look at the score lines over the last couple of weeks and you see no goals constantly, it's like, oh, you know, maybe that's something they can work on. So I think they will work on it. Usually when Jack notices something like that and goes after it, there is an improvement. So I think that's the first thing they have to do. The second thing is just on the opposition kick out, you know, just to get the press right again, because as we said live at the game, I think it's going to be a feature of the championship that you have to be set from the kick out. Top teams are going to be doing kick outs all summer. There's going to be plots and plans. It could be a mixture. You know, if you go too set for the long ones, they could butcher you on the short ones. So you have to be prepared for all areas. I don't think the Kerry were prepared. Maybe it might have been mentally for Clare's long kick out approach.
You think that's a mental thing? Because they did tweak it at half time and they were better.
It might have just been a little bit of focus and just a reminder. Do you know that this is what's happening? We need to be sharper on it. Because if you lose two or three kickouts in a row, that could be the game. You know, there could be seven or eight attacks off the back of that. Do you know, like it can have so much of an effect, a couple of kickouts. So I think that's the other thing they'll work on. After they got minute into the legs, they'll be happy with, and they have to keep that. I think the Kerry's group is not the strongest. Like, they're not going into Galway's group. They're going to a very different group. I think they can get time into players' legs and improve steadily as they go, like Dublin did last year.
Well, to be fair, I think that's what Kerry did that last year as well.
Mm.
That's the reality. You look through the start of last summer, the provincial championships, yes, Connacht and Ulster are competitive, Munster and Leinster aren't. And Dublin and Kerry were kind of plodding their way along through last season, and they arrived to the All-Ireland quarterfinals and blitz teams. Kerry annihilate Tyrone. The following day, Dublin do it to Mayo, and they just took over the championship from that point on. So it's not... Like, if you look at Kerry, they're both their games. Their game against Cork and the game against Clare yesterday, they weren't great, but they didn't need to be. They're playing a Division 2 team and a Division 3 team, and that's the level the Munster Championship is at. And they kind of played that way.
Hmm.
So it's hard to get a read on Kerry, because they're going to be way better against better teams. Maybe there's a bit of, like, complacency is a bad word, but, you know, Kerry got to win that game yesterday. So that, it was the handling, it was kind of a little bit sloppy against Cork the first day. Yesterday, I agree, maybe goal chances and kickouts. I think defensively, and I've seen it last year, and we've seen it in both the games in the Munster Championship this year, they're being got at far too easily. Far too
easy. Care opened them up maybe three times, Paddy. Yeah.
Really direct running. And yeah, we said it from the throw in, we said from the actual goal. Like, these are not once offs. And again, no disrespect, but Cork did this, a Division 2 team, and Clare were doing a Division 3 team. We've seen Kerry have not been anywhere near as solid. Their whole base of their All-Ireland win in 2022 was Tadhg Morley as a plus one. Paddy Talley was lauded for bringing in this edge and defensive play and a bit of meanness and stinginess from the Kerry defence. And we haven't seen anything like that since winning the All-Ireland in 2022. But that area, whatever about the goal scoring, you just have to back the Kerry of unbelievable forwards. That will come. I agree, maybe have a little focus on it in training. But if I'm Jack O'Connor, the Kerry management, I am looking going, we need to sort out teams running at us through the centre channel because they are not dealing with it. They're not dealing with it. And they might actually still be able to get away with this because of the group they're in. They've got a favourable group. But again, we said it a couple of weeks ago, Kerry are looking at the All-Ireland, that's it. If they're that porous against the likes of a Derry, a Donegal, a Dublin, a Galway now on form, they will have major, major problems. So I think that's the most glaring thing for me that I've seen from them over the last couple of weekends in the Munster Championship. But again, kind of pinch of salt, Kerry don't really need to get going for another couple of weeks. And it's kind of, they've kind of played like that. So I'd still have confidence in them that their levels are going to increase significantly over the next month.
Yeah,
Those holes in the fence, they were not an issue for Kerry 2 years ago. Are they? Is that an easy job?
Foley coming back is massive.
Yeah, and he's not 100% yet. You can see that. He kept a nice point. He was a bit off.
We weren't sure when was he going to be back at all. Was it going to be into the All-Ireland series? But for him to just to get on and get minutes yesterday, he is integral to have for that Kerry defence.
The only thing with that, and I agree to an extent, but I think that you can fix that in two ways. You can almost fix it individually. Everyone has to be a little bit better and you kind of organise your shape better as you have it. Or what happened in game a couple of times with Kerry this year, I think that Jack tweaked it, especially against Dublin. He actually brought more bodies back and he actually filled the space with bodies. I don't know, is there longevity in that approach in this championship? Do you know, I think that if you're going to be playing in Dublin and you have a lot of bodies back, I think Dublin will just hand pass the ball around you and get shots off. They're so adept at beating that system. I think you have to be one-on-one able to defend and break. I don't think that getting huge amount of bodies back is the way forward for Kerry. So I hope they don't do that. I know that it might be an issue that they're conceding a few chances, but
yeah,
if they changed completely their defensive system, they might just go too defensive. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to go that far.
I don't see them doing that, though, Jimmy. Do you? Like, could you see Kerry playing 12, 13 bodies back? Maybe at certain plays in a game, it just demands that and backs are attacking, but I don't think they're going to hang their hat on that. It comes back to that kind of central issue around the middle third, the athleticism to track runners. I think it's a big problem for them. You know, it's not just the middle third and kickouts and all that stuff. It's the athleticism to get up and down the pitch and not switch off because it's right through the centre channel and it's happening too often for me. Like I said, I think they'll improve on it. I'm sure as hell they're more aware of it and they are working on solutions for it. But from what we've seen in the Munster Championship, that's the one thing I'd be looking at going. If I was playing Kerry, I'd be saying, right, we could get joy. They'll switch off around the middle third to runners from deep. They're struggling to deal with that.
Dermot Coughlin clearly targeted that. Whenever he got the chance, he ran hard.
I think that's just his natural style, though.
Well, it is. We've played against him plenty of times. And he does play like that. And
that's kind of coached out of fellas, isn't it? Like, you see Shane Walsh is so good at it, and Coughlin is so good at it, where even out the field, just drop a shoulder and take your man on. It creates absolute havoc. We saw Monaghan do it to Dublin in the first round of the league, where their half-forward line said, fuck this, I'm going to take this fella on. And went past fellas. And if you're attacking the full back line at pace, anything can happen. You know, there's no structure to the defence at that stage. It's completely scrambled. I think that sometimes it's coached to just play the safer thing. I love to see fellas taking on men. The best at it from going back in time was Declan Sullivan.
Somebody said that. I'm trying to find
Declan or Darren.
Declan. It just, and it, when I heard it, because yesterday James compared Dermot Coughlin to Eden Hazard, prime Eden Hazard, I'll say, when he was moving.
Okay. But, no, I was saying about his the way he uses his arse to get in the way of the defender coming back. I thought back that was really good. So clever. Like.
But, and I thought that was really good. But when I read the Declan, go on, go tell us about this, because I thought that just it clicked.
No, go on. The Declan actually does the exact same thing. He used to get his arse in the way of the defender coming back. And actually, you'd almost dangle a leg. As you get in front of the defender, you'd actually dangle your leg so the defender could actually trip over you. It's so effective when you're taking on a man. But what article was it that said about him?
I was trying to find it there, just as you were about to say it. Somebody had written it during the week. I can't remember who it was. Can't find it.
You can torture a half back there if every time you get it, you're taking him on.
Yeah. Anyways, before we just get to a couple of things on Clare, quickly, I asked you the questions Kerry will be asking themselves. They've designed some bigger things later this summer. What are the things Kerry will be happy with? Tony Brosnan made an impact. Man of the match.
Yeah, swung over 3 from play, which is exactly what... He actually played 10. Well, he played 10 and Darren Moynihan played inside, but they were both kind of roaming. So they actually left the 10 spot pretty vacant. That might be something they'll look at as well, just to keep the width. Like, if Tony does play in a half forward line, but there's shots to be got off from that 10 spot with his left leg. He's so accurate.
I was interested to see him being named to start in this game, and I was looking forward to looking at him, and he was very good. When you know what it's like fighting for a spot in the Kerry attack. Did you have a feeling Tony Brosnan was going to have a big day when he was named to start and given a chance?
I did. I had a bit of a feeling that he could deliver, because I think that we've struggled at times with that little bit of quality in the half forward line, just in terms of putting the ball on top of the toe, looking in, kind of little shimmy the hips and getting scores out from there. Sometimes teams these days are just gone, you know, you have to attack as fast as you can, defend as fast as you can. Tony and these fellas, they can just steady up and do the thing that's a little bit out of the ordinary.
He's technically very good, isn't he? Never a question with him. It's no. Probably maybe the athleticism, the aggression on the other side, but technically he's a talented player. Like, that's, you could see that in glimpses yesterday. So
yeah, he's a corner forward. Like, if in Kerry, he'd be the best player in the county championship for Dr. Crokes playing corner forward. Like, so they're obviously trying to get a bit more quality into that attack, but still have enough work rate there, as you said, Paddy, to stop the runners, which is, it's a balancing act, really. But the more, yeah. I always said, the more quality you have in that line of the field, the more control you'll have of the game and the less defending you'll have to do anyway. Whereas if you just load that area with hard workers who aren't necessarily as good in possession, they'll turn over the ball more and they'll end up working harder. It's like, I'd rather have the quality. Yeah, I'd rather have the quality on the field and defend less.
You want 6 Eden Hazards and Kevin Keegan as coach.
Well, Dublin in the All-Ireland final last year lined up with like as much quality as they had in the forward line.
Yeah.
They went, what was it starting for? They went Kilkenny. They went
Paddy Small,
Paddy Small, Mannion, Costello.
Mannion, Costello, and Basquiat. None of those fellas are giving away the ball willy nilly either. Like, they're so in control of that possession. Yeah. I think there's a lot to be said for it.
I was in with the Clare camp last week and I managed to do a piece of them in and around their training session. So I mentioned last week I thought they beat the spread. So I was hoping a big crowd would turn out, and for a young group, and it's an incredibly young group. I think the oldest player there was 28 yesterday. The two lads, maybe 28. A lot of lads, early 20s. A, will they take enough from that game? Because Mark Fitzgerald afterwards was pissed off with a few things they got wrong while being delighted with things they got right. So do you think they'll take enough out of that game? And can they, obviously have Cork next. They had a famous win against Cork last year in the Munster Championship, a big win. Can they beat Cork and make it into the Premier League quarterfinal? Did you see enough in them? Will that performance be good enough?
Me?
You were there, yeah.
I think so. I think that game, they could.
You're going against your Cork?
There's no
this
Mike
is,
Cork.
This is a hard one for you, JV. Like,
there's no Mike Cork. Cork. I am Cork an people. Independent
no, it's your Cork.
Pundit. No, it's not. I just happened to know that they were going to have a good year last year. I didn't say anything about this year. So I apologise. Again, you've called me up wrong so many times now.
There's no need to take everything so seriously, Jeff.
Play nice.
Sometimes people take things we say in the pod too seriously. There's no need to take that seriously.
Anyway, Clare, right? I think that worst case scenario, they could have got pumped the weekend. And it would have completely, it would have finished their season. It would have been a disaster. The complete opposite happened, and they played exceptionally well in front of their crowd, took some belief going forward, and now they have that one game against Cork. I think they'll only have to win that probably to go through.
Oh yeah.
Who else is in that group? Who are the other two in that group?
Tyrone and the Ulster Winners. So it's a big game. Clare Cork is a big game in Cusick Park.
Yeah, you think that both those teams would potentially beat a Cork and beat a Clare. So if Clare can win it against Cork at home,
yeah,
then they have a great chance of going through. So I think there's all positive for Clare.
Is that the opener night in the group as well, Toby?
Yeah, 18th, 19th of May. So that's going to be...
What a weekend the games is going to be.
And we've got Clare Waterford and Hurling that weekend, so there'll be a few eyes looking at that one in Cusick Park too. So, okay. A couple of quick fire questions at the end here, but I want to get top line thoughts on the Ulster and Leinster final this weekend. We do have our members pod coming out later this week. If you have the Off the Ball app and you're not a member, you can still listen to our members pod. You should get 3 free listens a month, and you will not have used all 3 hopefully by the 6th of May. So that's there, and it might entice you to become a member maybe for the rest of the championship, because there is an absolute wealth of GAA going out every week on Off the Ball. That Inside Clare football piece last week, 30 minutes inside the Clare football camp and exclusive, is available to members now. So there's still like nice stories in that one as well. And there's loads of pieces going out every single weekend and every week. Dublin Loud, 1:45 PM, Croke Park. I think we'll save this one for the members spot. Armagh Donegal, can I get your instinct early in the week? Kieran McGeaney up against Jim McGuinness. Clonus, 4 o'clock Sunday. This is going to be just like Galway Mayo was. Just like Kerry Clare in some ways. This is going to have all the feels.
This will be the third time they played this season, and the other two games were not classics.
Shadowboxing,
buddy. I know that, but I'm expecting this to be a titanic tussle, probably not a classic, just by I think the way the two teams are set up. I have a sneaky feeling for Armagh this one, lads. Even all the we've given Armagh a lot of stick over the last probably 2 years. I was pitching for the semi final win against Down, and it wasn't great for them, but they just found a way to finally win a tight game. And realistically, they should have been putting Down to the sword a lot easier than they did. The big games, they have constantly underperformed. But I don't know. It's just like I have a hunch. I think they could dog this one out. I'm fascinated by it. Like you said, it's probably the more intriguing game of the provincial finals this Sunday. But my initial things, I just think... I don't think it's going to be a classic. It's going to be so tight, and I think Armagh might just finally nick one.
I'm a believer. I think just the tension, the crowd baying for it, I just think this has to develop into a classic. I think we will get what we're looking for. I think we'll get what we're looking for this weekend.
Where's it on?
Clonus. So.
Full house and Clonus.
I just think we're going to get what we're looking for.
It'll be tight and intriguing, but... Like, are you thinking like 1:19 to 1:17 type game?
No, I'm not. But it doesn't have to be.
Well, Mayo Galway felt like an unbelievable game, and it was like 11:10 after 60 odd minutes. It was low scoring, but it was very, the intensity was high.
Yeah. Do you know why that was so good though, James? The contest in the game. That's what made it so good. There was fellas battering each other for every ball, and we're going to get that again this weekend. Sorry for interrupting you. Go on ahead.
You'll definitely get that.
No. I was just saying that I think it's a big test for McGeaney, because Jim McGuinness is getting all the praise in the world at the moment. He's he's the best thing since sliced bam.
Why are you talking about yesterday's Sindo column?
And Brawley.
The flip-flopping.
Brawley.
But Brawley does more flip-flopping than RTE.
So what was Brawley saying yesterday?
Jim is his best friend now.
Jealous of all the Donegalness in the Donegal camp, and that... Derry are stuck with Mickey Hart.
I like a month ago. Jesus Christ.
He said that Mickey Hart was welded to the trophy every time Tyrone won the championship. And it was all about Mickey Hart winning it instead of the players. Very harsh.
Like, I don't know. I'd say if you went through the football pod, you could find a lot of occasions where we may say one thing and then a few weeks later say something different. But Paul Fitzpatrick's written a column in the Irish Times that kind of, and I felt this yesterday reading the column about McGuinness. It seems Jim McGuinness has changed his ways, at least in the opinion of columnist Joe Brawley. Back in 2015, Brawley painted a grim picture writing, "Jim's guiding principle is control. He dominated nearly every aspect of his players' lives." Brawley went on to mention a typed behavioural contract, which each Donegal player had to sign when the squad met for the first time in 11. It was the beginning of a dictatorial masterclass where an atmosphere of paranoia surrounded the squad. Fast forward 9 years and all has changed. Jim has become Jimmy. And his players, once dominated and paranoid, are lucky to be under his watch. "I feel jealous of Jimmy's players," Brawley wrote yesterday. "Jealous of the great adventure they're on. Jealous that they have such an inspiring, clever and committed leader. Jealous of the life lessons they're learning. Their integrity, their absolute loyalty and togetherness. A journey whose purpose is the only important one for the good of the people of Donegal. I am putting down a bet that Jim McGuinness will be appearing on Joe and Dion's Free State podcast in the next week."
There's a typed contract, yeah.
You're really entitled to change your opinion. You are, and McGuinness, you know, he has given us plenty to chat about so far this year.
What do you think, Jimmy, for Sunday?
I'm very much with you in this. It's so hard to call, but I have a niggling feeling for Armagh. I think that they'll have done a lot of homework. I think that they'll have watched those games Donegal have had. And they'll be able to just maybe load them
better team.
And security.
Who do you think's a better team?
I don't know. It's so hard to call. I could easily sit here and go all in on one, but I can't. Go on, sorry.
Donegal are probably better, but I just think Armagh.
Do you really think Donegal are better? Like, we're talking about an Armagh team here who have lost an Ulster point to Derry.
I think Donegal at their absolute best. Like, playing to their absolute peak. I think they're better than Armagh, yeah. But I just think on Sunday, the way this game is going to go, and look, Armagh have burned us in big games before, but we've been leading towards them, but I just... It's kind of just set up. All the focus is Jim McGuinness, Donegal, this amazing win against Derry, and Armagh pretty fucking ordinary in their semi-final against Down. It just sets that up for a team that Armagh are the ones going to be planning the ambush on Sunday. And I might do a Joe Brawley on it and change and remember his plan tomorrow.
Man, you're more than entitled to it.
But I've had a little niggle for Armagh.
The one thing is, it's easier to find quotes written on paper or on the internet than it is to find something you said in a podcast buried within an hour. So you're safe to check.
Forget all the stuff Jimmy says. You're always thinking about
that. Every time he quits.
Every week.
But the only thing is with this game, I also don't think it's going to be a classic, Tommy, because Tyrone probably gave a template on how to beat Donegal, even though they didn't. But it was slow build-up. It was measured. It was take your time. It was don't give away the ball and don't let the counter-attack happen. So we've always said what we want Armagh to do is long, fast ball because they have hands inside. They have good kickers. So those attributes from Armagh, I wonder, will they be utilised at all this weekend? But maybe not, because it might not be the time for it.
When we think back to the league final, the Division 2 league final, Armagh's best period was the last 10 minutes when they went for it. Yeah. Surely they will take something from that. I just think, I appreciate, I think it might be a slow burner, but like a lot of these games in Ulster, I do think that we'll be clinging on to receipts by the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. It's so hard to call it. Who are you going for, Tom?
I think I'll save that for a member spot this week. A couple of quick questions before we go. Why was Paul Gainey wearing gloves against Cork when the weather was so nice?
He sprained his finger.
Okay, second one from Cusick Park. Does James have a stylist?
Oh?
That's coming in from,
wearing, Jimmy.
That's coming in from Paulie Mack.
Is she offering? Do I need to be?
It's a he, I think. I think Paulie's a he.
I said Pauline. Does he think I need a transformation?
No, I don't think so. I think he was being complimentary there.
You have the furniture contract. You just need something else then.
Do you have a stylist? That was a genuine question.
How in the name of God would I have a stylist?
Well, I'll put the same question to Paddy. Paddy, I saw some of the clobber you were wearing on GA Go maybe last week. Or was it in Croker, I think.
Great stuff.
I thought it was quite stylish. A bit. Yeah. Like, you're definitely aiming high on GA Go, aren't you? Like, your standards are high.
There's no trackies, like
you're not suiting a boot in it, like.
It's
the modern. It's the modern man.
I don't have a stylist, no.
What was it? It was a turtleneck, I think, wasn't it?
I did wear a turtleneck.
I thought it was
fucking Ron Burgundy.
He's wrong again, Penny. Everything this man throws out is just incorrect.
This is there on the internet. Penny wearing a turtleneck.
Do you have a stylist, Tom?
I absolutely, unequivocally don't have to answer that question. I don't. Okay. Big weekend of football. We've got Dublin Loud. We've got Donegal Armagh. And as I mentioned on Saturday, we have got Tyrone up against Roscommon in the under-20s. And we have got Meath up against Kerry. So the Tyrone-Roscommon game is in Kingspan Breffni Stadium. 5 o'clock live in TG Cahir. Meath-Kerry, FBD Sample Stadium. 3 p.m. TG Cahir. I'll definitely find a pub in Cork to watch the Meath Kerry game because I'll be down at the hurling for Limerick and Cork. Paddy, are you off this weekend? Are you working this weekend?
I'll have to do something for the Leinster final, all right, but not GAA Go until next week, the 18th. So we might be at Salt Hill for that game. Galway Derry, perhaps.
We'll touch on round one of the Tailteann Cup this weekend. On the members pod too, we've got Kildare Longford, Leitrim Waterford, Sligo Wexford, Fermanagh Wicklow, Down Limerick, and Offaly London. So some very tightly matched games there. Paddy and James, Bank Holiday Monday, thanks for your time as always. You could have been on the golf course, but you're here with us. Appreciate it.
Good night, boys.
See you, boys.